Everyone, listen to me. We've all been deceived. We need to calmly head towards the exits.
Run for your life! It's gonna fall!
Welcome to the Banana
Bread and Circus
Republic with Crispy and
Tono,
your hosts for the end of the world, or whatever we're looking at.
We're looking at the reset.
Yeah, it's we're gonna be fine, ladies and gentlemen.
So strap in and join us to recalibrate the soul as we explore the ether and ethics of our evolution.
In the space between spaces, there's an intelligence that guides our values and our judgments, which determines who we are, what we're doing, and where we're going.
Follow your nose.
And think for yourself. Oh, this guy's got half an arm out of two. He's got 0.5 of an arm. And there's no way he's going to, you know, bolus, right? And he does.
Right. And then you get my one-eyed ass out on the bowling alley. And, dude, oh, my gosh, you feel bad. You put the bumpers out.
Oh.
Involuntary. It's so funny.
Can't wait to take you shooting.
No, well, that's the thing. They don't translate.
Right. Yeah.
And even that, like shooting a firearm as compared to shooting archery, like I would compete in a statewide archery competition, traditional archery competition, and be confident that I would place. I don't think I definitely wouldn't win, but I would like land. Yeah,
You're
I would land in a. I would have a fun time, and I would be like looking forward to where I landed in the stats, but like firearms. I'm working on being competent. You know, I think I'm competent. I think I'm there. Like, I don't think, I'm not like insecure about it, but I know that I am not a like great shooter. I know that I'm like hunting. Hunting safe. I'm like competent to shoot a deer with a rifle.
Right.
You know, like mm-hmm. that kind of thing.
Yeah. And you know, that's where most people are.
Right,
you know,
right.
Like that's the average, you know, like, but it's not to say that you're incompetent either or that you can't.
And I'm safe as fuck.
You know, like, right. So
that's
those are the important things.
Right.
Yes.
That's really important.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You're dealing with so much fucking,
the four,
it's literally combustion right in your palm of your hand.
You're controlling
like
an explosion
of energy
that is projecting a slug of. Yeah, a violent projectile towards something.
Yeah.
Hopefully what you intend it to. Yeah.
Managed explosions.
Yeah. Managed
propelling,
explosions.
Propelling metal like it's very high velocities.
So much innovation has come from that. Like the automobile and just those controlled explosions.
It's like crazy. When you can get three of them out in like a second right onto your target. You're just like, yes! You're like, I don't know how that works. Like, I mean, I do, but I don't. It doesn't make any sense. Like, controlling that much explosion is counterintuitive, but it's possible.
Totally. Well, welcome, Tom. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's nice to be here, and I probably sound a lot different than the last time I was here, because I was gravelly and coffee.
Ah. But shaved his voice.
So it goes. I feel a lot better, and neither of you got sick, which was great, because I was coming, that was like my second day back out into
time.
The world. Yeah,
I thought you were talking about, yeah, okay.
yeah.
Well, yeah. the dog hair?
Yeah, no, well, I was like, it was definitely because I had been very sick, but then I was still so raw and sensitive, and like, yeah, like I exist, most of this, you see clothing, most of it is dog hair, and it's like,
it's a nice shirt,
just, it's
way.
Just a, thank you. Thank you. And it's got, yeah.
Pretty freaking sweet.
Oh, shit.
What?
Yeah,
look at that.
Yeah. That's what
very good
for
an audio podcast, a visual.
God damn.
Oh, yes.
He's got beer pockets on his shirt.
I got beer pockets on
low profile.
Uh-huh. No, this is because, you know, because it's sugaring season.
Yeah.
And, like, you gotta, you like, if you're out in the sugar bush, you gotta be ready for anything. And most of it's staring at a fire or moving buckets of liquid, and you want to be... Armed with two.
D- definitely.
Yeah.
Like, double all fisting. All that moisture evaporating, sure making me thirsty. Oh, I got good 2 pockets left.
My folks have like a gas station bowl that they have for like the twice a year that they get baked, and like this sugaring season, I'm like, I'm gonna clog this fucker. You know, like, it's gonna be entirely, they're gonna be like, oh, what's this? What was this development? It's like, yeah, no, that's heavy use is what that is.
Right.
It's like, you can scrape it and sell it or smoke it, but I'll buy you a new one at the end.
They want me to teach them how to roll, and I know they're gonna be so bad at it, and I can just keep avoiding it.
Wait, your parents
want to roll joints because they think it's gonna be easier than, like, they have, it's such a nose burner, and like, this thing runs in the family. My dad's nose is as big as this fucking thing.
So what he needs is a Sherlock. He exactly. doesn't need a joint.
I just got a Sherlock, but then they have to like take care of it. Like, a Sherlock comes with care.
Well, like, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Get one with moderation, you know, like 6 inches long, sturdy, gets it out of your face, but does the trick. But yeah.
Are you talking about my dick?
6 inches long. Does the trick. Get it out of my face.
Sorry.
too many easy targets.
No, yeah. It's with, like, the, not an appropriate time, but it had to be done.
But like rolling joints, so like they used to make those like self like rolling thing where mm-hmm. you like slides across mm-hmm. a panel of where you put
the that's the one the, if you want to use the tubes.
Right.
Yeah. I had one growing up. It was
my
wild.
Buddy had one.
Yeah.
Growing up, of course, you know, post 18. Yeah.
Oh, of course. Right. Of course.
The right. easy roller or whatever, like it was called it was top. Tops. Tobacco and papers.
Yeah, I remember that.
And they're, it's a Vermont company.
Oh, really? Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're up in Georgia.
Okay. No freaking way.
No shit.
There's so many of those that like I never knew was a Vermont company. It is a Vermont company.
They actually, I don't believe they make it anymore, but Easy Widers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the thing I'm thinking of.
Yeah. The Easy Wider kit that came with the hole, and it had that little like conveyor belt kind of material that would drop down in, and it then would line.
Yep.
You would line it with the paper,
just
and
do
then
this.
It would
It was great for whatever you wanted to roll. And
right.
Yeah.
Well, my buddy got it for a cigarette. Like, he's one of those folks that will just like, he's like, what's the economical way? And he was like, I smoke a shitload of tobacco. I'm going to buy this thing, and in the time it takes me to roll one cigarette, I'll take 5 minutes instead of 3, and like roll a pack, a 20, you know, 20's worth.
It's so funny you mentioned that. I was just thinking the other day about how annoying fucking people that hand roll are. Mm-hmm. Like, God damn it. It's like, if you're at work, you're like, all right, we're going on a smoke break. You got 5 minute smoke break. Like, there's people that are halfway through their cigarette by the time that the hand roller is like just barely lighting theirs.
Right. Or and like then, done. Yeah. Like, people be done.
Yeah. It's like, sure, they're delicious. Yeah. It's an art form. Very inefficient.
I took a community college class and I had the same professor for multiple classes. She was pretty cool. But one of her things was, she was like, listen, and I was doing it. I started taking community college classes when I was a senior in high school to graduate on time, because I lost my eye early on in that senior year. And it was how I was going to earn enough credit.
It was a rough high school.
It was, totally. No, yeah. They were like, listen, if you want to hang,
if you want to graduate,
you're going to give us a headlight. But her whole thing was, she was like, it takes 7.5 minutes to smoke a cigarette. I've timed it.
Depends,
and she was like, that's your break.
Depends,
I know, exactly.
The
and all these hippies, me included, are out there smoking our American spirits. You know,
I can smoke
twice as long as
I can
any
smoke
other
an American spirit in 4.5 minutes if I put my mind to it.
Oh, that's, yeah, no, that's you putting your mind to it.
If I will, and oftentimes I am. That's
because you're being an Olympian.
Deep lungs.
Yeah.
I can't, it would always help right before a hockey game for me, because it would expand the lungs just enough to, like, give you enough of enough wind per shift out on the ice. And plus, it's like the cold environment, that combination of, like, cigarette right before you suit up and go out there.
Stiffen up the cilia and the lungs.
Yeah.
Like, oh, the cold won't hurt me because.
Because it can't.
Yeah. Kind of numb it a little bit. Just like sear the nerve a little bit.
It right. It's the equal opposite of what weed would do in that situation.
Yeah. Counterintuitive for sure. In fact, Ben was just talking about that. He was over at a job recently and he was like, I think he was telling me he was like freezing cold. And, you know, he's dealing with pipes and fittings and all these. Like crazy gadgets, and he ended up cutting his finger to the point where he didn't feel it. Yeah. And he just fucking bled like all over. It's like, oh, I guess I'm bleeding.
That's always like, a proud moment. You don't moment.
Feel it. Yeah. No, it is. In like, a way, oh, in a weird
shit.
Like, strange.
Looking at the trail, and you're like, I haven't bled out yet. Rock on.
Yeah. Somehow I'm still lucid. But thankfully, nothing serious. That shit can.
It's hard to have high blood pressure when you're bleeding. Statistically.
Yeah, I was hearing about a guy that got pulled out of his tent by a polar bear up in, like, Labrador.
Oh, my God.
And didn't feel it. And, like none of the stuff. Could hear his bones crunching. Stuff like that. Like, you know, was so getting fun. Mangled.
That's where you just shoot brain. Yourself in the head. Oh, my God.
You know? I didn't feel this, you know? Like, I didn't feel it.
Wow, right. Shock. Yeah. Like, nerve, like, your nervous system is so good at compartmentalizing what you can and you can't feel.
Right.
To keep you alive.
Well, the pain response is to draw your attention to it. So if your body knows that it's like, oh no, you don't need any indicator that you're getting fucked up right now. Yeah. Like we'll turn off the pain response. Right. But if you get a paper cut, then your body's going to be like, hey, you should pay attention hurts. To that. That could get infected. Go clean it. Yeah.
It's
a great example.
If you lose an appendage and your body's like, oh, don't worry why you can't feel that. Just go get help. Right. You know? Like, that's
now that you mention it, when I dropped that fucking glass 5-gallon jug in the basement that one time, and it like, up, dude, it was bad. I thought I might have hit an artery, but like, I didn't feel any of that. I had no idea. I was actually in shock that, oh my God, liquid is on the fucking floor. I can't believe this is happening. I'm so pissed off. I love the
footprints.
And then I just see.
Yeah. Totally. Did you ever see those? Yeah. Oh, yes.
Up the wooden stairs to get help.
It's like Neolithic man coming up the stairs.
Yeah.
Not good. Sucked. And like, I went
what
to
the great though, like someone, you know, like down the line, like 3 generations from now. You know,
exactly. Yeah, just thinking about
like, what happened
here? Or if you ever move, take that step with you. You know, it's like,
oh yeah, just no leave frame the house. That step.
Yeah,
like that would take be cool. The top panel off and like frame it and just
that would be
it.
Cool. Yeah, I would do that.
Yeah. Make wouldn't a table out of it all or something.
Yeah, it's like a perfect board. You just you could apply
the,
it to
leave
anything.
The place, but take turn the it into steps a shelf. Out of the from the basement.
Or maybe I'll just get like a tattoo of a footprint. And I'll know exactly what that means.
You can always be like our friend, Mr. Sands.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
That man. Tattoos.
Yeah.
Brands. Name it.
The branding thing. That was really hot in the Pacific Northwest for a little while there.
I can almost understand it in certain situations, you know? Like, there's something to it.
Well, there's definitely
romance, I guess, would be the shitty word to use.
There's that like Viking quality that I attribute to its like just like the dedication and like it in a way like storytelling. Like you're telling a story on your body,
right?
That is like a mark in time, so that even when you decompose and move on, like it's like a sandcastle in that way. But
the sandcastle that'll be the name of this episode because some sands.
So there you go. That was not a pun.
But. And we might have to edit out his first name.
I was just going to say, the cardinal God rule.
God
I've already been so careful.
Fuck.
Yeah.
It's good.
The modern tattooing process, though, is like plenty for me, personally.
Well,
like, that's where I'm gonna be hanging out, just because it's gotten so much better in the time that I've been getting them.
Better, and, you know, they're starting to find out that, oh shit, like, the inks that they're using are not good.
Like, right, which, of course.
Arsenic-based. Like, yeah. Right. Yeah, branding. You introduce some shock to your body, but at the end of the day, it's just scarification after that.
That's true.
Speaking of pain, would you rather do it in a cold room so you don't feel it as much?
I don't think it would matter.
Okay.
You're talking about glowing metal touching your skin, whether you're in a cold room or not, you're going to feel it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here we go. Because I've had ideas for a long time, and now it's like, okay.
Better. For a brand?
I mean, I've cauterized.
Yeah, you could say that.
Yeah. I've cauterized myself with metal before.
But like, tattoo.
Really. A tattoo.
Like, yeah, just like, I've always admired, tattoo. Like, tattoo art.
That's a cauterization really... right there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, and I did that with metal, but it wasn't fucking nearly glowing.
Yeah, your ink is dope.
Oh, my ink? Thank you. Yeah, no, but I also just, and we're in the season, this time of year, I get burned on this metal wood stove cooking sap.
Sizzling.
And yeah, I've got some permas, but like, same, you know, it's not, even though that shit is so hot, it's not glowing hot. Sometimes it is glowing hot.
Glowing
but I don't think
metal
I've ever burned
does not
myself.
Cool off when it touches skin.
Right.
Whereas like, sizzling oil does.
But I've been tattooed in non-air conditioned spaces in the middle of summer, and the heat of it will put you, or puts me in particular, in a, it like drains my adrenal glands is what I think is going on, where it just gets me very sleepy.
Puts you into that. Puts you into
and
that.
And I go like way sleepy.
You go straight cortisol.
This one, we can't really, but yeah, there's a raven up here, and it's got a lot of detail on it. It took a long time, and it was hot. I was in Plainfield, you know, over there at that shop, and like no AC, the sun's beaming it, like the worst possible conditions in terms of managing heat.
Yeah, that place was not set up for you know, fumigation or, you know, any sort of airflow.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was wild, like just how in and out I was, you know, cause I'm friends with both of the artists that have been there. And, usually it's like a social affair. And I was not able to hold a conversation. God. I was like looping in and out the whole time. Just like, whoa. Like, yeah, just like kind of dipped out.
Are you done? No, I'm just.
Wow. Cool. I applaud you for going through that, because
my one tattoo was similar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It happened, you know, in my living room. Dead of summer, so it was like, yeah, no airflow, just front door open, total white trash. But, you know.
Good memories.
Well, yeah, I'd say 5% regrets, you know.
Just like most life.
Right, yeah, yeah, that's like most days of mine.
Yeah, you know.
If you're under 10, you're doing good.
Hot damn, you must not fuck nobody over today, son. Nope.
They always make good stories. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No regrets. That's my favorite, like.
Rag rats.
Yeah, just, yeah.
Two A's.
Yeah. I couldn't even get it. Couldn't even get it spelled right.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. You have a few of those.
Or somebody misspells
there.
Limp Bizkit on the back of your head.
Oh, there you go.
Right. Oh my gosh. Well, there's so many Z's in the wrong place. Like, how,
ma'am,
are you gonna,
ma'am? How do you know you don't like Liz Bimskit?
Liz Bimskits. Oh my gosh, what a strange time. I was so, yeah. I was like, I'll admit freely, like, I was a fan. I was all up in the, like, Limp Bizkit and Korn with the backwards R. Like, I was in middle school. I was.
What year did you graduate?
2005.
Okay. So I was a couple years earlier than you, but, you know, basically same generation. Yeah. You remember the Family Values Tour? That they did. It was Korn, Limp Bizkit, Rob Zombie, and one other shitty band. I mean, yeah, nobody can remember anymore.
Well, let me just say this to, like, age myself appropriately for that.
Please do.
The Twisted Metal 2 game
on PS1,
PlayStation 1.
Yeah,
you could put in a CD player because Rob Zombie did the soundtrack for it, so he had
God bless that man
had it specially encoded that you could put it in a CD player and play it like a Rob Zombie CD, and it was also a video game.
He's one of the most wholesome snuff film advocates I can name.
There are a few of those, like Rage Against the Machine. I still like Rage Against the Machine.
They've gone way too woke for me.
Oh, no. They got shitty, but, like, at that time.
I
still like that music. I didn't outgrow their first few albums. Battle of Los Angeles was the last good one, in my opinion.
First time I ever saw titties in real life was...
Zach De La Roca?
No. I got to backtrack a little bit here. But it was at a Rob Zombie show.
Okay.
He was opening up for Korn during, like, it was their precursor to the Family Values Tour, where Rob Zombie, he just dropped that, his first solo album. Not quite solo, but, and then he opened up for Korn. They were doing their Freak on a Leash tour. And I was maybe 12 or 13.
Right.
I think I was 12.
No, you gotta be a little older then, because that was when I was 13. Freak on a Leash was like when I was 13.
Oh, well,
I'm
41.
Yeah, and I'm 36.
So, I was probably 12. I'm gonna stick with 12.
Okay. But then I was a little baby tiny. Like, how was I even fucking hanging with that? Maybe, I don't know, I was so fucking hip.
Well, yeah, I mean,
I was ripping JNCOs when I was fucking...
the only reason I think I was not younger than 12 is because my mother was so hyperprotective, she wouldn't let me... Like, we went to Providence, Rhode Island, to see the show. Me and my buddy went with his dad, and, you know, he seemed like a responsible guy, even though he literally had a circumcised penis for a haircut. And,
That was the move at the time.
Exactly. I was just going to say, that was like the common right. look.
I was begging for one of those haircuts, dude.
So like if I was cut.
Yeah. My parents were like, you don't want that, because my cousin got one.
If I was the mother, if I was the mother of his son, I'd be like, you can't have him.
Yeah. Bull cuts.
I'm sure there was money on the reasons why that happened.
That's sweet, though. Like, some fucking... Seeing some, I don't know, like new rock tits at the Rob Zombie show, like this.
Oh, dude, it was hilarious. Like, you know, like we're like 12 and 13. I was a year older than him, so we're either 11 or 12 or 11, 12 and 13. And at one point,
you're like 8 and a half, dude. Be real. No, I'm kidding.
I wish. At 8 and a half, I had been to some concerts, but it was the country shows that my mom wanted to drag me to.
The local, you know, local show.
This was like the first show that I'm like, I want to go see this. And she's like, I don't think so. And my buddy Dane was smart enough to be like, hey, my dad's a cuck. He'll bring us, you know? And so... Sure enough, we're sitting there with his penis dad haircut guy, and
I can picture it now.
Yeah, and like I'm like looking to my left, I'm like tapping my buddy on his shoulder. He's looking to his right past me, tapping me on the shoulder. Like, dude, look at that titties! Like we're both like trying to point out titties, and we're just like, oh, what the? Like there's like eight chicks. Within like stone's throw distance of us, and we're just like, rock and roll's the shit.
Yeah. Smashing Pumpkins. I still like a Smashing Pumpkins song here and there. Yeah. I don't love them
Why
all.
Not? Why not?
But like, yeah.
I used to listen to them.
They've got a few that are, you know, close to tearjerkers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Don't get me started. But like, I feel like I missed out on an era of concerts. Like, I'm just kind of too young for a lot of bands that were still touring that I could have if I had been a few years older. My first concert was up Champlain Valley Fair, saw Peter Frampton and Journey.
Yeah.
And that actually set me up on a nice trajectory of musical taste. You know, from there, I like, that was like why I got into Led Zeppelin, I think, you know, but like, there are so many cool bands in the early 90s when I was just like too young and like would not have had access to that. Like, there was still a cool scene, you know, and like Vermont, like for being in such a rural area, like
we
there
got
was
some
still
good shows.
Good shows coming up here. Yeah. And for me in high school was just like I saw some mostly like hip hop acts that I still really respect as musicians, but you could tell they did not give a fuck about coming to Vermont. Wu-Tang Clan, if you went to a Wu-Tang show in Vermont, in Burlington, like, they're not coming out until 2 a.m. They're too fucked up to even do anything that they, like, sold you
and
a ticket for.
And your girlfriend's getting on the bus.
Right, and your girlfriend's getting on the bus. Well, and like Aesop Rock, too, who's more like heady.
I love Aesop.
Like,
love
yeah,
Aesop.
Yeah, yeah.
Aesop
but, like,
was
he didn't give a
best.
Shit either. He didn't give a shit.
You know who I just saw two nights ago?
Labor Days, man. That was an icon, icon record.
So
right there.
Good.
You know
so
who
good.
I just saw?
I got that on vinyl.
Two nights ago down
Dude,
in,
I'm so jealous. That's amazing. Yeah, yeah. Once you get your shit hooked up, we should totally
we should listen
tune
to
into
it.
That. Yeah. Hell yeah, man. Yeah.
And he just re-released Daylight. Daylight.
Did
like
he really?
The EP, which is just Daylight and Nightlight. Mm-hmm. It's just the two tracks, but like, I'm going to get that just because fuck.
That's dope.
But, yeah. Both yeah. of those are great.
And I like his contemporary stuff as well, but like when he was underground, there was like a whole different rhythm to his music that was like
yeah
so on point, and it was
and he
so
got
good.
Signed to Rhymesayers. That's his current, or as far as I know, that's been his current for the last few, and like that's fine, and like they've signed a lot of like really good folks as far as I'm concerned, but they clearly have a like not like a style, but like a quality. Like they're gonna edit your shit in a certain way. It seems like he had to alter his.
You got a little
style.
More polish. After
yes,
that.
Yes. Yep. There's a production value to it that, like, mm-hmm. like you said, you know, like he's better underground. He's better
totally.
Without that polish. In my
yeah.
opinion. Same with Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah,
like it got woke and too curated. Like in my opinion,
but
like,
a Moral Technique will never do that.
A Moral Technique. Oh my gosh. Like, what an amazing. And he's someone else who's come up here a bunch.
Yeah.
He's like a reliable Vermont tour when, nice. When he's touring. Like, he'll come up here. And those shows, like, I think, yeah, that was my last good hip hop show, which is sad because it was so long ago. But like, 2003, I think.
No kidding. Where was the venue for a show like
Higher
that?
Ground.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's been around for, yeah.
Two nights ago, I got to go see a great hip-hop show. There was five openers opening for R.A. the Rugged Man.
Yeah. Oh, I like R.A. the Rugged Man.
Yeah. Down in Warren.
Really?
Two nights ago. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Like,
well, la-ti-da.
I know. It was great. He jumped down in the crowd. Jumps down in the crowd for one song. Kisses Tara on her bald head.
Oh,
like,
cute.
Oh,
yeah.
She's good luck.
Nice. It's a good omen.
That's very sweet. Good.
Yeah.
R.A. the Rugged Man and Aesop. I think it was, yeah, they did an album together.
Aesop, Immortal, Vinny Paz. He's done.
Well, Vinny Paz is on a lot of Aesop stuff. Do you know the Juggernauts, who were also, they, what was that? There was a group for a little while that was like, had a loose affiliation. Like they weren't they didn't have record labels together or anything like that. They were just like,
get together.
They like to collaborate. Songs, yeah. And the Juggernauts were on that. And, Cannibal Ox, Cannibal Ox. No. So fucking good. And they're all Aesop Rock friends. And Cannibal Ox, The Cold Vein, I think that's their only album, their only like big feature album they ever did. Fucking check Juggernauts out, and it's JUGGAKNOTZ.
Juggernauts.
It's obviously referring to the word juggernaut.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah, spelled funny.
Juggernauts.
And Juggernauts and Cannibal Ox are two that are like, they'll get featured on Aesop. Like, they're both, or Cannibal Ox is definitely on Labor Days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What,
yeah.
Do you know what tracks or?
I'd have to look.
That's okay.
Like, I could identify them.
But that's cool.
And like, yeah. Ugh. Like, there's, yeah, just that little community that existed at that time.
Yeah. And so, El Producto is one of them. I'm pretty sure.
Yep. Yeah. He's LP. Yeah.
He's
right. Exactly.
Amazing.
Exactly. And there's like this group. The Weathermen. The Weathermen's the name of the group.
Okay.
Thank you. I just needed a little bit of, yeah.
Bear with it. It's almost there.
It's cranking around.
Just keep on spiritually
None Shall
waterboarding.
Pass. None Shall Pass is the Aesop album where he's, they're all on that.
That's a good one, too.
That's like on the peak of all of their collaboration, and None Shall Pass features like all of the people I just mentioned.
Have you ever heard of El Coca Nostra?
Nope.
Not me.
It sounds very derivative of shit I've heard of, but
yeah, instead of El Cosa Nostra, it's right. El Coca Nostra.
Yeah.
And pretty sure it's Vinny Paz, Immortal, what's his face? Everlast.
Mm. The bluesy hip hopper.
He's actually like the main voice on it.
Yeah.
Like, it might be his brain baby. I'm not sure, but,
interesting.
It's,
you wouldn't think, like, I wouldn't put him in with Immortal Technique.
I mean, this is way back, like, 05.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's when all that was huge.
Yeah. I was around that era as well. And my buddies were always going to like, what was it? It was like, cause out in Ohio, we had like a similar venue, like, one spot you would go to. It was like in Colerain, like near Cincinnati, like a subdivision of Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And God, I forget the name of it. But anyway, it's like my buddies would always go out there, and I was never part of their like excursions of like getting together, carpooling, and going to see like Primus or Les Claypool or Buck. A few friends went to go see Buckethead or Bucket of Birdie Brains.
Right.
Like that type of.
That would have been great.
Well, that was the same era when Les Claypool had like 8 bands. Like Oysterhead and all this shit was going on all on that time. And he was doing like 18 things and fucking, I just saw a video of it the other night. Like Maynard doing Perfect Circle and like branching out of all that.
I should play the promo right now.
Pustifer, Perfect Circle, awesome and promo. Primus are going on tour together.
Yeah, dude, check this out. I got to pull
so
this
he
up.
Just stays on stage the whole time. Is that the idea?
I've always heard him talking about how they would interchange. They would only do like a few sets. It's like for his 60th birthday or something. But like, here, let me pull 60th. Up the, yeah, isn't that wild that like he released with Tool like way back, it was like over 30 years ago. It's like, what on earth? How does time do that?
Makes fools of us all.
It's pretty unbelievable. But this is awesome. This was an awesome, like, Instagram, like, bit that he did to promote that very tour. So, let's see if it.
Heyo! Guess who? You got Mayor James Kennan from International Recording X, Lucifer, The Tools, and Complete Circle.
The Tools!
And Complete Circle.
Complete Perfects.
Perfect.
I'm having a party. It's a birthday party. I'm turning 60 years old.
Oh.
We're gonna play some songs with you with my friends from Lucifer, a Complete Perfect,
Circle,
and Primus. We're gonna all be on the stage at the same time, kind of like We Are the World without the bleachers and plastic surgery.
Oh, so he's
and
leaning into the fact
get
that
your
it's
tickets
a ridiculous
right away. The guy is gonna tell you where we're doing it.
Lucifer Entertainment presents 60, a 60th birthday celebration for Maynard James Keenan. An evening with A Perfect Circle.
Primus, we might go see
Lucifer. Primus. Boston. A Primus Circle. A Pussifect Primecode. And
might,
a Brivmect Pussicle.
Plus
some
Fox
guests.
Woods.
Some special. Some not so much. All three bands on stage at the same time. It's a party.
The same time.
I bet my buddy Kurt's going to that.
At the same time.
Oh, yeah, you think?
No last names, right? I'll ask him.
That's dope. Well, anyway, I just thought I'd play that because it was just right on cue with right. that whole thing. But yeah, I'm wondering the same thing, like how that's going to pan out, like with the three
bands.
Well,
they're billing it. They're billing it as such a thing. They're going to make a spectacle of it.
Well, like, they've also.
Sounds pretty amazing.
Maynard's bands and Les's bands have a history of playing. So.
That's the oyster head, right? Like, isn't that the no?
That's just
fish and oyster and Primus congealing together.
And the drummer from the Police, Stuart Copeland, whose father was whose father was the head of the CIA.
That's right. Yeah, well, weren't they?
wasn't fucking Jim Morrison's daddy involved in that too?
No, that was the Gulf of Tonkin.
Okay, sorry, no, I'm stepping out of my realm here. I know.
He set up the Gulf of Tonkin.
They were part of
which was a false flag.
We gotta go back. We gotta go back to Ragnar Lothbrok if I'm gonna feel in my comfort zone.
It's all good.
Hey, man.
I don't know.
I'm not trying to downspeak.
No, I'm not.
Weren't they part of the Lollapalooza tour thing? Like during that time when
I
they
think
got
it was 94, 95.
Like the Primus Les Claypool. Like
yeah,
circle
tool, okay.
Yeah. Because I was wondering the same myself. Like, how did they
and
get
then,
like?
But then all the new rock shit. That was the Woodstock that went wrong. That was like 98, 99.
The most
right?
recent one that I've seen was a benefit concert for I forget who. He was a fairly well known musician who was dying of cancer of some sort, and Les Claypool put together a benefit show where Danny Carey and the original drummer for Primus were both there at the same time, and they did a fucking drum off, and they ended up doing a cover of Anima together,
shit.
And Les is singing. Like, it's...
Oh my god, dude! Is there a recording of that?
Oh yeah, go on YouTube right
dude,
now, man.
Holy
it's
shit!
Fucking... Yeah, and both the drummers
I don't know
are
if we
just
have time to
going at it.
On,
yeah, it's...
Yeah, you think
do it.
We could close with that because I have
6:48,
like five minutes left. What do we got for what? What do we?
It's a 12-minute.
What am I typing in?
it's a half hour.
benefit show Primus and Tool drum off, or benefit no benefit Primus and Tool Anima.
Oh shit, dude! I think you have played this for me before.
That's
an advertisement.
Killing it. Oh,
sorry
no.
about that.
Yeah,
that's how the song
that
starts every
brutal.
Time.
Get that YouTube subscription. Bro.
I know, right, dude?
That's
I know.
How
I'm,
the song
I'm
starts.
Stubborn.
I gotta,
I'm stubborn
I gotta,
as hell.
I could have played it online. Man.
No, you're good.
We don't need your subscription.
Yeah, you're off grid.
Too much pride.
You're off grid. You pay YouTube to just not play you ads because you can't afford it.
I prefer to turn them down. Show them what I think.
Oh, with the bass line? Oh my god.
Watching the drummers go at it together, and they're looking at each other, they're just like...
Two drummers on this song. Oh my god.
The original Primus drummer and Danny Carey. Brain and
dude.
Oh yeah, and Justin Chandler was there.
Yeah. Two basses. This drum riff coming up is what I've been like waiting for. This is like my favorite part of the song.
Yeah, it's and watch them go at it with each other.
Yeah.
Not the band.
The band, The Leftovers?
Yeah, you saw The Leftovers. Sorry, yeah. You put me in a different... I was like, wait, you saw The Leftovers?
Okay. Oh, shit. Salisbury's taking all of them?
Too many puns today, right?
No, The Leftovers like too many is an puns. Actual band, though. I just thought you were saying hilarious. You saw them instead.
Yeah.
But, okay. Yeah, no, you saw The Leftovers, meaning you saw elements of that show... without it being to that caliber.
Certainly, yeah. I mean, you know, Les Claypool wasn't there, but the rest of Tool was. Or all of Tool.
Did you see Primus? Primus was around, excuse me, like 2 summers ago, I think. Did you go up to that show?
Yeah, where they did Rush.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and that was everyone's talking point. Which, fucking...
They did like 30 minutes of Rush, and yeah, the rest of it was Primus. But it was still amazing.
Rush is one of those That's bands awesome. Where I'm not going to argue with you. They're not my favorite.
If you can do 30 minutes of Rush...
yeah, totally. You show up and you're like, I'm hot for Rush right now. Like, okay. Like, that's fair. I'm not going to walk out. Styx, if you do 30 minutes of Styx, I might leave. I'll give you 10 minutes of Styx. You got
that one song of theirs. Fair. I'll give you that song totally. Of Styx.
Yeah, no, but Rush, you can actually, because it is such a specific, it's not just like a cadence. Like, they had a style. They have a terroir to them.
They were basically, you know, it was three geniuses soloing at the same time, you know?
Right.
And one of them could sing over it.
Well, and that was, not to keep bringing it back to Led Zeppelin, but they were like the after, the repercussions of like Led Zeppelin as a super group. And then everyone since then was kind of like chasing this concept of a super group where it's like you get really talented people in the room and you try to like harness all of their lightning in the same bottle,
and replicate,
but they didn't
it
have a John
can.
Paul Jones.
Well,
John Paul Jones was running Led Zeppelin, and he was the one who was making it.
Are you a fan of them Crooked Vultures?
Yeah.
So like he's still doing his thing,
right?
You know, like, and
because there's an inherent talent there.
He's a big Crowleyan too.
No sure. shit.
Well, and like as it goes, and like they've all got their
as above, so below.
Right?
As it goes.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, totally. Right.
But you need like the referee. Like John Paul Jones was like the professional referee that was like keeping all that. He was like, okay, go, like do your fucking like whatever shit you need to get it out. But then show up, and we will devise ways. And that's how
like,
studio equipment,
he was
think
like,
this kind of audio equipment
he's like,
is credited to John Paul Jones.
He's like, John Bonham, you need to go on.
No
you
shit.
Need to,
he
John
was
Bonham.
The first one to like be recording instruments one at a time and layering. He was pioneering layering instruments over each other. And that's how they got all of their orchestral stuff. Even in Led Zeppelin 2, they start getting like organs and shit involved. Even in Led Zeppelin 1 has organs and shit. But,
and
like,
that
were
was all John
it in
Paul Jones.
Because he was editing it in while they were out doing whatever, you know, they He's were like, as above and below at the same time.
John Bonham, like, John Bonham, you need to go out on a bike ride and get your head clear before this next show. You fucking go for it, mate.
Right. And he was just like the That's nerd wild. That was hanging Days out and making dead. It all work. You know, and Rush, I think, needed a nerd.
Well, and
Rush was
well,
too,
Rush,
was just
that,
too
that,
many hotheads.
That's the thing is
not enough nerds.
Rush inspired nerd rock after that. You know, because without Geddy Lee, you wouldn't have Les Claypool. Without Neil Peart, you wouldn't have Danny Carey.
It's true.
You know,
it's true.
Like,
absolutely. Which I think
in
it's-
fact, the Danny Carey cover of YYZ for the Neil Peart tribute. They did a Neil Peart tribute concert after he died, and they had Dave Grohl come up, and he played like one of their easiest fucking songs, and it was like sad and disgusting.
Dave Grohl, you said?
Yeah, and then...
Was he playing guitar and singing?
No,
he was playing drums. Yeah, cool.
And then they're like, all right, just put in Danny Carey YYZ tribute. Love
but
you guys.
But that's dope though. Like, but I think a good closing. No, those are awesome. That I heard was an incredible show. And those, I think a good note to end on because without those things, you don't have the next thing that comes after it. Cause as we all know, the best art is technically poached. in some respect. Imitation. Right? Yeah, a different interpretation of what someone else did before our time. And then that's the torch that we carry into the future.
It's the highest form of flattery.
Steal good art.
Steal good art. Emphasis
steal good
on good
art.
Shit, yeah, boss.
That's all you can do now.
Tommy, thank you so much for joining us tonight. This was awesome. Tom,
thank you, sir.
And Tono, fuck yeah, man. As usual.
I love you guys.
Triforce. Do the whole.
The
yeah.
three rings. Ooh,
yeah. yeah.
Good shit. Any
and they
day.
Never saw them again.
To be continued.
Hey, guys, bro.
I think this is Hyrule.